Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I want to remind you, don't miss your chance to win big every week on the KSL Sports Zone. Next week on Win Ticket Wednesday, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Blue October at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August 24th. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. We are live today from Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South, 300 West in Salt Lake. So drop on by and see us. We've got some goodies for you and find out what Peach can do for you. If now the warm weather is coming, supposed to be 80 degrees today.
And, why did I wear a jacket? Why am I so layered up?
If your air conditioner is going to turn on today and not turn off until October, then maybe you should look into some new windows.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Maybe you're, you know what the real mistake is? Overdoing your AC too much, burning that thing out, because that's going to cost you $15,000 to replace.
It's brutal.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor and do your AC unit a favor and save yourself some cash.
Honestly, you make a great point. You can buy extra years on that. Years on that thing.
15 G's to come in and replace your AC unit. So get that fixed up or, you know, prevent having to fix it.
And heaven knows I ain't going back to a swamp cooler.
Just the window unit.
I spent so much of my youth watching my dad nearly kill himself on the roof trying to maintain the swamp cooler. Up there. Yeah,
that loud window unit was my life for a long time.
That's not something that I'm prepared to go back to. I'd rather just maintain my air conditioner and make it energy efficient with some sweet doors and windows courtesy of Peach. So come on down, 2940 South, 300 West. So you had a window unit. You ever have a swamp cooler?
The house I grew up in had a swamp cooler.
Where you turn it on and it is as loud as a jet engine.
Yep.
And blew air out at hurricane force speeds.
And was so cold in that one spot.
In that one spot, it's just like a pole, like Antarctica.
Yep.
And then the rest of the house was lukewarm to hot.
95 degrees inside the house.
But you couldn't.
Let's hope you don't have an upstairs, because that thing's going to be a trillion degrees. But that one spot in the kitchen where the AC unit is, or where the swamp cooler is? Yeah, buddy.
I can't watch TV because it's too loud.
It's colder than the fridge.
I'm not going back to that, Ben. I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
I'd rather just maintain my air conditioner.
And you can do that with better doors and windows.
You certainly can, being the point. 2940 South, 300 West, down here at Peach. So come on by and see us.
Well, I'm going to ask you to give me a little bit of insight. I told you I was sitting with my Kentucky friend last night at the Jazz game, and he was a little perturbed. We both started hearing about Mark Pope and Kentucky. I mean, I think a lot of people did early in the season, right? Like when BYU had jumped out and was far exceeding expectations, and everyone kind of knew Kentucky was a little up and down, and the Coach Calipari stuff was going to end at some point, whether it was this season or next or whatever. It was going to happen. Like, those connections started to be drawn pretty early. Tim Lacombe is a very well-connected person. You were doing the show with him last night. I'm curious what his reaction was last night, because I was stunned, and you don't seem as surprised as I was.
Oh, no, I'm not. Stunned. I'm certainly not stunned that Pope was on the list for BYU. Coach Lacombe definitely wasn't stunned. It was fun hanging out with him last night because he was on the phone the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, he was watching the Jazz game and he did a great job as he always does.
But he knows everybody in college basketball. It's crazy.
He does. He's networked with all these coaches and these coaches, like big time coaches that you would absolutely know their names. Just call him willy nilly to find out what's up. You know, like
How's things going on?
Yep. Yeah. Like what's happening over there and at BYU and with the Pope situation. He didn't seem very surprised. And he worked with Mark, right? For how many years was Mark an assistant before he left to go to UVU? Three?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that? And Mark wanted this. And by the way, don't take that as a slight against BYU. This is his dream job. I know you hear that a lot when it comes to coaches, and a lot of the time it's just crap, right? You know, Urban Meyer's dream job that he had on his on his in his contract at Utah. Remember that was Ohio State and Notre Dame. Those are the two schools that he can opt out of his contract for with no buyout or whatever. Well, lo and behold, his dream job, Notre Dame, was available, and he passed to go to Florida. So how much is that your dream job? But Mark Pope's dream job is Kentucky. He went to school there. He was a high-profile player there, despite the fact that Ben thought his playing career was really crappy.
Well, he only played 2 years there. He was a captain, but he was an emotional captain. With all due respect.
Not a good player.
Not a production captain. But he was an emotional captain.
And, of course, when you go to a blue-blood school like that, I'm sure being the head coach is the dream, right? And so I guess the surprising part is how many coaches had to pass to get to him. But honestly, it wasn't that much. What was it, three? I don't know if I'm buying the Billy Donovan one.
I have no idea. I've heard too many different things about Billy Donovan.
There's one side that's saying Billy Donovan was never contacted, and there's another side that says Billy passed.
And there's some that's saying he would really take it and really was interested in it because he could get fired with the Bulls. Or maybe he doesn't get fired with the Bulls because the Bulls and Jerry Reinsdorf don't want to spend money on anything, especially paying a coach to go away. So, yeah, maybe he was never going to leave.
I actually think that Pope is a better hire than Billy Donovan would be. If you're looking for my opinion, I know people out there probably don't think that. But I'm stuck in this. College coaching hires are so dumb. Like, you either have to hire the guy who's going to win the press conference, or you have to hire the coach that is winning right now. Seems like there's no, like, nuance to coaching searches. And I this isn't a nuanced hire because he's an alum, and you know, and he had a good year, but there's a chance that what we were talking about in the last hour, where here's a guy with a modern take on college basketball, could really be an innovative hire for Kentucky, even though you're not, you know, quote unquote, winning the press conference. I mean, would Rick Pitino have won the press conference for Kentucky? Probably. I don't think he's the right coach for that job at the moment, right? You know, Scott Drew has a formula figured out how to win at Baylor. Who's to say that would win at Kentucky? I don't know. It seems like a layup. Like, oh, he's a national championship coach. He's really good. Well, yeah, but there's risk to that. Who did they hire before Cal? He was the hot coach, and he landed 2 years. Gillespie? 3 years at Kentucky? I mean, like, I think Pope, just because he hasn't won an NCAA tournament game, I don't think that should be a disqualifier. He hasn't won one game, so that's the – listen, he wasn't going to win one with UVU. John Wooden isn't going to win one with UVU, so you might as well scratch that off. It doesn't count. And let alone, he was great at UVU. Didn't result in an NCAA tournament win. Well, duh.
Right. Who does? Who wins?
And by the way, BYU wins one, if not two, NCAA tournament games if the pandemic doesn't get in the way in 2020. So there's another thing. That was Pope's best team. Was that team maybe this year? I mean, you could make an argument, certainly, but that 2020 team was really good and didn't get an opportunity to win. And then in the West Coast Conference, the seeds you get going into the tournament are so bad anyway. It's so hard to win a team unless you're Gonzaga in the a game, unless you're Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament. So it's like I've seen all these pundits go, he hasn't even won an NCAA tournament game. Well, duh, in life, things are a little more nuanced than that. I mean, imagine if you hired the, I don't know. Well, look at where did Youngstown, Utah State, hired the Youngstown Calhoun coach. I mean, it's almost as silly to make the argument about Pope in the NCAA tournament as it would be, well, has he won an NCAA tournament game? Well, he was at Youngstown, so no.
Let me play devil's advocate. This is the worst coach Kentucky has hired in my lifetime. As far as resume, has the worst resume by far, right? Like Tubby Smith, Gillespie, Calipari. Like Calipari had already been to the Final Four with Memphis, right? Like all these things. What Kentucky views itself as and who they feel like they should be able to hire does not fall in line with Mark Pope's resume at all. Now, you and I in the first hour talked about why Mark Pope is going to succeed. He's going to get the NIL money. I think he runs pro stuff. I think he's going to get guys that come in and play the way he wants to play. I think he's going to be an upgrade on the floor over Coach Calipari if he's not in the living room of the parents that get the kid to commit to his school. There's a lot of reasons why he can succeed. But he is the worst coach Kentucky has hired in our lifetime. And there's an argument he was the second best coach in the state of Utah last year. But Danny Sprinkle did win an NCAA tournament game, did have fewer returning players, did have a worse roster
we thought.
Right.
And then won and took that Washington job. But, like, so there are things out there that are not glowing endorsements of Mark Pope. And also, BYU should have beat Duquesne. They were a better team than Duquesne. They did not show up for that game. They were not prepared.
Right.
And the things that he did were a little gimmicky. Now, the nice thing about Mark Pope, gimmicky being that they were so reliant on the three-point shot, which is not the fad in college basketball, when you can get players who consistently shoot 40% from the three-point line, which you can recruit to Kentucky and you cannot recruit to BYU as easily. Look at Reed Sheppard. Look at what Dillingham did this year. They both shot over 40% from the three-point line. You can get those types of kids at Kentucky, and if they hit shots consistently, your variance on those types of games and that style of play is far lower than it will ever be at BYU, because not every guy at BYU shoots 40%, and more kids at Kentucky will. So more shots are going to go in running his style, which honestly just means you're going to go farther in the tournament. It's silly. I hate to say it's that way, but that is kind of what he has going for him. And I actually do think there's a chance. No, I don't want to say a chance. That sounds like I'm doubting him. I do think he's going to succeed at Kentucky. I think he's going to do well. But I understand the consternation.
A brainless moron could win two games in the tournament at Kentucky. A extremely great coach could coach at BYU and not win a tournament game.
Yeah.
That's why the bar is ridiculous. Stu Morrill did win a tournament game at Utah State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that before Stu? Either way. But Stu Morrill could go through his entire run at Utah State and not win a tournament game and be a way better coach than whatever moron they hire at Kentucky who gets to the Sweet 16 automatically because he has the best team on the floor, eyes closed, and they get seeds where they're playing against to steal that, what's his name? The Little Sisters of the Poor.
Yeah.
The guy who's at West Virginia now, who's from Vernal. What's his name? The old Ohio State president.
Key.
E. Gordon Gee.
Mr. Bowtie, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't like that bar. I get what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree, but I just think that's a silly argument.
Well, and, yeah, your prior resume being what's going to make you successful is not a good indicator. In all honesty, it's not. I wish it was. Every coaching hire is a guess, it feels like. There are better coaching hires and worse coaching hires, but everyone's a guess. And this could work out great, and this one could work out really well.
I get Kentucky maybe saying, like, okay, we're not going to hire somebody without head coaching experience because we can do that.
Yeah.
You know, BYU is going to hire a coach without head coaching experience because they have to. And it may work out, it may not, but that's their lot, right? Kentucky doesn't have to hire somebody with zero experience. But they hired a guy whose head coaching experience is really good.
And you know what? Credit to Mark Pope for keeping a spotless record. Not on the court, but off the court. Because the number of guys who could have easily been in line for this job, who were disqualified for this job before because they didn't want to hire somebody who had huge red flags recruiting, which Coach Calipari had before he took the Kentucky job while he was at Memphis, and the Derrick Rose having somebody else take his SATs for him, et cetera, et cetera. Not being Bruce Pearl, not being Rick Pitino, like all of these guys who have these issues behind them. Who was at LSU?
Will Wade.
Like these names that should be in the running for this Kentucky job. Good for Mark Pope for doing it, at least the perceived right way.
I wouldn't have let those issues scare me off, those guys, by the way, because now everything's legal. So why would I care?
I know, and I still think they did. I still think there was a big part of that.
Okay. But if I thought Bruce Pearl was the guy, I wouldn't.
It sounds like they didn't even interview Bruce Pearl.
No, I wouldn't let that stand in my way because Bruce Pearl has built successful programs and Will Wade is winning at McNeese State.
Yep.
But I'm not saying those guys would be the guy. I'm just saying if I were making a head coaching hire, I wouldn't let those things scare me off anymore because it doesn't really matter.
Now, enough about the Kentucky side of it, which might be missing the point. This is a huge blow to BYU. Mark Pope's a great coach. I mean, good enough to get the Kentucky job. It's an enormous blow to BYU.
They can find somebody else who'll do a good job. But the hard part is their coaching pool is just so limited. And I know we asked Mitch about, you know, whether it's a requirement to hire an LDS coach. And it's not. They have a non-LDS cross-country coach at the moment. They kind of broke that seal a couple of years ago, which I don't think they should eliminate non-LDS
members
from the pool. But you have to be as specific. I mean, the way Mitch laid it out was pretty good. I mean, there are unique things at BYU have to deal with, and it helps from a perspective standpoint to come from that background. So I do think that they will hire an LDS coach.
I think so too.
And that pool is small. And with Mattson passing, I don't know if Mattson was automatically the guy, although he is the one with head coaching experience. Burgess is a great recruiter from Utah. And I know a lot of people in the local media are kind of pulling for him, I think, because he's been here and he's been around since he was a teenager. And if you've ever interacted with him, he's a good dude. And I think he has a really good track record as an assistant coach. But I mean, Peary, do you know much about him?
No.
Barrett Peary, that's no. the other guy from UNLV that is high on the list. There's the assistant Young, what's his first name, who's the assistant with the Phoenix Suns, who people are talking about, and then there's an assistant for the Houston Cougars. But none of these coaches have head coaching experience.
The Suns assistant might be their next head coach because they may have to fire Frank Vogel because he's so bad and has been rumored as being a potential. I think the Jazz interviewed him, actually, before they hired Will Hardy.
So that might be a long shot.
I think that's an NBA guy. I think Alex Jensen wants to be an NBA guy.
I don't think Alex Jensen.
Because Figure is the other guy that's gotten talked about.
And he's not LDS, so
yeah.
I don't know if he's – and I think he likely goes with Pope to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And maybe as far as his head coaching prospects go, you feel like you can have a better bite at the apple if you're an assistant at Kentucky.
And have success?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And find a good spot. The reason I'd probably lean toward Burgess, and granted this opinion isn't all that fair because I don't know that much about the other candidates, but I know that Burgess can recruit.
And knows Utah.
And recruits Utah, I mean, is really, really good. So, you know, I think college basketball is less about high school recruiting than it used to be. But I think at BYU it's key that you get a coach that's going to get the players there and not miss out on high-profile LDS guys. Like Brody Kozlowski should be going to BYU.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know Brody now is thinking about where to go, and we'll see where he ends up. But there's no way that you should let an in-state prospect like that, whose mom works for BYU
– yeah. And it's a BYU family.
It's a BYU family.
Legacy through and through.
No way that guy should be going anywhere else. And that's just the example I'm plucking because I like Kristen. She's mm-hmm. great. She's been fun to do those Jazz games with. Anyway, there's no way that he shouldn't be going to BYU. You got to find a coach that makes sure that those don't slip through the cracks. And then Burgess will probably, I would guess, take what Pope has done at BYU and kind of build off it, considering he was part of what Pope built at BYU. So from a consistency standpoint and a recruiting standpoint, that seems like a pretty good option to me.
It's tough, though. This is such a bad timing for this hire. You are so far – it's crazy as it sounds. Like, you're already kind of late in the transfer portal because now you've got a new coach having to go in and introduce himself and an idea for a program where, you know, this has been going on for a couple of weeks now and all these coaches have made their bids and literally gotten their NIL deals, their bids lined up. So, you know, Colin Chandler's going to come back from his mission and say, oh, I've got an $800,000 offer to go to Kentucky. Like, of course he's going to go. You know, and I hope he stays at BYU. I'd love to see him locally. But a top 30 kid – with a coach going to Kentucky, is going to go to Kentucky. That's what you do if you want to play in the NBA.
You're not wrong, but there's not anything you can do about that at the moment.
No,
you're
not. Your hands are tied.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
right.
BYU's hands are tied. This is terrible timing for BYU.
Yeah,
that's what stinks. This is terrible timing.
It'll affect next year.
And the Big 12's not getting worse. I know Texas and Oklahoma are bouncing. Well, Arizona's coming in. It's going to be brutal.
Yeah, and Danny Sprinkle got hired late and had to replace the whole team and did it. So, I mean, yeah.
There are exceptions, and Danny Sprinkle did a great job.
Well,
I'm just saying,
like,
Mark Pope.
The urgency is, like, honestly, if they think that Burgess, for example, is their guy, well, then make it happen. But don't create this urgency that it's more important to get the right fit than it is to hire
next
today.
Season.
Than hire today. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, like, next season doesn't matter at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Get the right guy.
Get the right.
You're right.
Way more
get the
important.
Right guy.
So, like, if you know that. Again, using Burgess as an example, if you know he's the right guy, well, then do it and don't waste any time. And I'm pretty confident he would take it if you offered it to him. But if you have some doubts, do some interviews. Take a few days.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, but the transfer portal's almost blah. And it's like, it's way more important. What do you want to hire quick so they can scramble that may or may not get some transfers, or you want to hire the right guy? So,
like, you'd rather have the best sophomore than the best rookie, and that applies to coaches as well, right? You want your third-year player to be the best player in the NBA, not the first-year player. Have the best coach in his third year, not the best coach in his first year. Third year means he's done something right to stick around, and then he's really good.
Have you ever done that where you create urgency for a decision or something like that where it's totally unnecessary?
Constantly.
You're like, why was I so pressed to make that decision?
Nonstop.
I created all of that myself. You don't create something that's unnecessary. And by the way, you're probably going to be stealing a coach from somebody who then has to scramble to find their coach.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
it's a chase.
This is all still fallout from Andy Enfield being fired basically by LeBron and taking the SMU job.
Well, it's the SMU coach leaving, right? I mean, that's where this whole thing started. What a nightmare.
It's how it works. And it trickles on down, and usually it ends up in the Big Sky somewhere or something like that, you know, when it's all said and done.
Yep.
So we'll see where BYU goes. I'd be really tempted to broaden my interviewing pool and see, you know, if Feeker's a guy and he's not LDS, well, give him a fair shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. We'll get to more coming up next. We're live from Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South, 300 West here in Salt Lake. Come by and see us. We'd love to see you. But if you don't have a chance to come by during the show, but in the market for windows and doors, do yourself a favor. This showroom is awesome. And the good folks at Peach can show you exactly what they can do for you. And that's really a big thing for them. They can do custom projects, no project too big, no project too small. If you can dream it, they can do it. You know, we talk about that stuff all the time, Ben, but it really is true. And if you come down here to the showroom, you really can, you know, get your hands on it, so to speak.
You can see
what they can do.
A couple customers come in. Well, they were trying out all the doors. How does it feel opening it? How do the sliders work? What do the locks look like? How is that going to look in your home? Yeah, so many different options that you've never seen. You're never going to find them when you go into a big box store. And then if it doesn't quite fit your house here, they can customize it so it does fit your house.
I had no clue how noisy and difficult to move my sliding door was until I came down here and watch Cindy move a sliding door, like, with her pinky.
Yeah, you may not realize
and
how bad it's gotten.
Whisper quiet. I was like, who knew I had the loudest sliding door in the world, and I have to sit there and yank on it? You don't need to do that anymore. They can get you set up, and like I said, maybe it's a huge project where you want one of those big window doors to bring the outside in, or maybe it's you just want some more energy-efficient doors and windows. They can do it all for you. Give them a call, 801-566-1255. Schedule a free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. You can go to peachbuildingproducts.com or simply drop by their showroom, 2940 South, 300 West, right here in Salt Lake. It's Peach Doors and Windows. We'll have more coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5. The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, want to remind you to join Ethan Millard and Teton Wealth. They're going to be live in studio with Hans and Scotty on Monday to help you with your retirement plan. Tune in or visit retireteton.com. Ben, the Nuggets should start losing on purpose.
You think so?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
I'd rather play Sacramento or Phoenix than Golden State or the Lakers.
Yeah, there's an interesting – I mean, the last three teams in the Western Conference, you have the standings pulled up right now.
I do.
What is it, the Kings, the Lakers, and the Warriors are all tied.
All tied.
Heading into the final two games of the regular season. I don't know if everybody in the NBA plays tonight. Nobody plays tomorrow. I think everybody might play tonight and play Sunday as well. They've got those two different windows. They're not making anyone play the second day of a back-to-back because they're doing midday games on Sunday. So it's all Masters tomorrow, no NBA basketball. I've been trying to track this and figure out like how it's going to work because I'm with you. You know, teams try and game. Your matchup matters more than your seeding ultimately in the NBA. I don't know how it's going to work. It's going to depend on what happens tonight. And then after what happens tonight, it's going to set up a whole interesting scenario of what happens on Sunday. I mean, I've been kind of operating under the sense that, oh, well, the Warriors aren't going to be playing anybody, they still have a chance to get eighth. They still have a chance, if the Nuggets finish with the one seed, to avoid the Nuggets. And if I'm the Warriors, like, I don't want to play Jokic. I would rather play Oklahoma City or Denver, or excuse me, Minnesota in the first round. So, like, there's a real chance they're still playing all their guys on Sunday.
Well, and you're getting to another thing. If Denver slips to two, yeah, maybe they play Golden State in the first round, but maybe they play Sacramento or Phoenix. But who do they play in the second round?
Yeah.
Not Dallas or the Clippers.
Yeah, right. You're not in that.
I don't want Dallas or the Clippers.
Yeah, I definitely don't want Dallas, yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. So that 2-3-5-6 or 2-3-6-7 spot in the West, that side of the bracket, it's pretty advantageous, especially if Denver's at the one, because you're right, 4-5's already locked in.
But if I'm Denver, I'm dumping games. Now, their last two games are going to be really tough to dump. They play tonight against San Antonio in San Antonio, and then they finish up the season Sunday at Memphis. So, I mean, they'd have to lose on purpose.
What's the standings at the top of the West? What separates?
They've got their one game in front of Minnesota and Oklahoma City.
So the problem is, yeah, like, you don't want to accidentally open your playoff series in the second round on the road at Minnesota. That's the other problem. Like, I understand jumping to two.
I'd rather have Minnesota than the Clippers or the Mavericks.
Sure, but you might be opening on the road, and, like,
yeah, whatever.
Minnesota's given Denver some trouble because they're equally big. Now, I don't think anyone's going to beat Denver. I just don't think anyone's going to beat Denver in the Western Conference playoffs. But yeah, this is the dream scenario for Adam Silver, and a bit of a nightmare for everyone trying to figure out what their teams are supposed to look like. But you almost don't have the ability to tank games because you can't control what the other six teams around you are doing.
Oh, they're going to tank games. If I'm Denver, I'd rather be in third.
It's possible, and maybe they do that. Yeah, maybe they mail it in.
I'd rather have the Pelicans, the wounded Pelicans.
Yes, I think so too. Then the Lakers, probably.
Or the Warriors.
Or the Warriors. Yeah, you're probably right. I would rather play the Kings or the Suns or the Pelicans, whichever one of those teams ends up there, than I would playing the Warriors or the Lakers.
Let Minnesota lose to LeBron in the first round, or let
OKC. OKC's been terrible against the Lakers this year. They can't handle their size. OKC's really small, so they can't handle how big that team is.
Right. So if I'm Denver, I lose these two games on purpose.
That'd be interesting. And they can. They can just rest everybody and say, we want Jokic healthy. We want Jamal healthy. We want Aaron Gordon healthy. That's what matters to us. And it helps that the 2-3 seed is pretty advantageous as opposed to, yeah, the Lakers. But the problem is the Lakers or the Warriors could still jump up to one because I don't trust the Kings to win any games.
Who do the Kings have left? Hang on.
The Kings just got crushed by the Pelicans last night in a must-win game. They've got two, I want to say, reasonably winnable games.
Hang on. Hold the phone, Ben. Phoenix tonight at home and Portland on Sunday at home.
Phoenix is dying to win because Phoenix is in the play-in tournament currently and wants to get to the sixth seed. So they're going to be playing out of their minds. And you've got the Kings on the second night of a back-to-back, so that's going to be advantageous for Phoenix. And then,
yeah, but the Suns suck.
Yeah, the Suns are not good. Yeah, the Suns are broken. They've been a little bit better in this 10-game stretch that's so brutal than I had expected. And still, they're just – I had my Phoenix Suns fan who's always in my DMs that was always mad at me for making fun of the Suns, asking me what happened to his team last night. So he's had a mea culpa and wanted a counseling session, which I was unfortunately not able to provide, nor would I. But, yeah, it's a mess. The whole thing, and the Eastern Conference is equally crazy. Outside of the Celtics being 15 games better than everybody, like, Orlando is in the fifth seed. They could finish as high as second still, I believe, or they could drop to eighth. And that's just 3 days left in the regular season. There's 2 days left in the regular season as far as games
they're
go.
They're three back of the Bucks, so I
doubt, they can't catch them then. They're two games back. They can't catch them.
They're two games back of the Knicks for the third spot. They're one game back of Cleveland for the four. But they're tied with Indiana. For the 5-6, they've got the tiebreaker, obviously. And those two teams are only one game in front of Philly and only two games in front of Miami.
Boston's riding pretty. This is the perfect scenario for Boston.
And they were playing their guys yesterday.
Yeah, they were. It was weird. But they're going to face either the Bulls or the Hawks in the first round.
Who cares?
Well, maybe not. Maybe they end up facing, like, Miami or Philly, which would be tough. Whichever one of those teams.
No, it's the Bulls or the Hawks.
No, whichever team loses Miami and Philly has to play that next round.
Yeah,
there's still a chance they play either Philly or Miami, which is tough. But then in the second round right now, if things go according to plan, they'll play either the Cavs or the Magic, and they will beat them. They'll win a seven-game series in three games. They're going to beat them so bad, it's not even going to go to four. So Boston is almost, barring real devastating opening round against Philly or Miami, which is, by the way, one of the worst situations they could find themselves in, probably has already punched their ticket to the conference finals. And everybody else in the East is just going to chew each other up.
Quick side note, by the way. Man, the Jazz were right to move off of Donovan. Have you seen there's already a report that they're going to trade him in the offseason?
Yep.
That's already out there. They haven't even gotten to the playoffs. There was that was preceded by a report that said the only way Donovan signs an extension if they make it to the finals.
And look, let's get Donovan Mitchell's contract out of the conversation. Like, let's take that away. You know what the problem is with Donovan? It's always been the same problem. It has nothing to do with money.
He's not good enough to play the way he does.
He's a 6'1" guard who can't carry a team by himself. He's awesome. Donovan is awesome. He's a great, great player. The best thing that Donovan Mitchell could do is get traded to the San Antonio Spurs this offseason and go be Victor's number two for the rest of his career. You want to make the Hall of Fame? You want to win a title? Go do that, Donovan. But trying to be the face of a team that doesn't have financial flexibility and bet everything on Evan Mobley becoming a superstar and he just isn't is a whiff. It's a huge whiff for Cleveland and for Donovan. I know he didn't pick the Cavaliers. The Jazz picked that for him. But the best thing Donovan could do is go join a contender somewhere else and be the number two if he's willing to give up on that dream of being the number one guy.
Oh, man. If I were him, I'd take the Bradley Beal approach.
you want the gold jacket. You want the
I'd go to Washington.
Averaging 30 points a game.
I'd score 35 a game, and I'd sign a supermax.
Averaging more points than wins on the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just say, hey, I made 5 All-NBA teams and 7 straight All-Star games.
Because he's not good enough to play the way that he does on a contending team. So I'd go to a team where I can play the way that I do that don't care about winning and are just happy that somebody wants to be there.
He bounced back in their last game in a game that they absolutely had to win. Now, they were playing the G League Memphis Grizzlies, who doesn't have any NBA players on it at the moment, it doesn't seem like, when I watch them. But his previous – let me see. His previous – we'll pull this up. What does this look like? 9 games because he's hurt. Remember, he had the PRP treatment in his knee. He broke his nose also. His previous 9 games before his last outing, 17 points a game, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 38% from the floor, 38% from 3. That's the problem. Like, by the end of the season, if he's carrying this huge load, it's already wearing on his body, and it's probably only going to get worse.
Real quick here, Josh – and I always appreciate interaction, even when they don't agree with me. But Josh tweets in and says, champs don't hide from anyone. They are champs for a reason. Home court is still everything. Actually, home court is not everything. And the reason that everybody thinks home court is everything is because that's what they've grown up being told. Because that's what's been given the regular season meaning for years. And nobody wants to admit that it's basically meaningless. But if you think to yourself, just critically think for a second, Josh. Think how many NBA playoff series actually go to a game 7?
Less than more. The minority.
Oh, I bet it's like 10%. So even home court advantage matters a little bit because you'd rather play that game 7 at home, sure. But that's a very rare circumstance and no guarantee that you win that game 7. In fact, and I've said this many times, the Jazz have been at very few playoff game 7s in their entire franchise history, Ben, and they've won more on the road than they have at home.
I believe in the advantage of having your first 2 games at home because I think there's a psychological advantage if you take a 2-0 lead. I think that's where I believe in home court advantage, actually more than the 7.
But now you're in something fluffy and not concrete.
Absolutely. And then let me ask you this. How many game 7s did Denver play last year in the playoffs?
Zero.
Zero.
None.
They lost 2 games to Phoenix in the second round. They lost 1 game to Minnesota in overtime in the first round, and they swept the Lakers. And I think it was 5 games against Miami. They did lose 1 game in Denver, actually.
LeBron's title with Cleveland, they won in game 7 of the NBA Finals, Ben. And remind me where that was played?
Golden State.
Sure was.
Yeah. One of the greatest games ever played.
So the whole regular season comes down to a situation that is – what you're playing for is something that is extremely rare and far from a given. That's the whole incentive. Matchups are way more important than home court advantage. So not to disagree with you, Josh.
But we're disagreeing
with
you.
But I disagree with
you. Yeah, Josh. Or Jake certainly is.
I'd way rather play a team that is more advantageous for my team matchup-wise. A la, you mentioned that Oklahoma City doesn't match up well against the Lakers because of the size. That has way more meaning to who wins and loses a series than if a Game 7 happens where it's played.
Well, and you know what is more advantageous even than that? And look at, you know, Boston's a good example of it this year. I mean, maybe the best example. It's crazy. But Denver will have it next year, or this offseason, hopefully, especially if they do rest their players over the next two games. Just be healthy.
Oh, that matters more than matchups.
Just be healthy. Just be healthy. Boston hasn't had a major injury to Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Jason Tatum, Kristaps Porzingis, by the way. Kristaps is always hurt. Hasn't gotten hurt this year. Knock on wood. Hope he doesn't. Drew Holiday's played a bunch of games. Like, yeah, they're 15 games better than everybody because they've played every game. All of their guys are available. Like you said, they played last night. They still have healthy bodies that they can say, like, yeah, it's not even a question if they're going to play. But Giannis is hurt. Donovan's hurt. Joel's been hurt. Jimmy Butler's been hurt. Like, all the teams in the East have been beat up this year outside of Boston.
By the way, friend of the station, John Gambadoro from Arizona, columnist, radio host down there, is saying, this came out a few minutes ago, I continue to hear April 18th. That's the day Gary Bettman will make the announcement on the Coyotes being sold to Ryan Smith and the team moving to Salt Lake City. All indications are this is the only option, and all the wheels are in motion for the purchase and transfer of assets.
Wow, next week, Thursday.
So Gambo is here in the 18th.
Jazz fans, Utah fans, sports fans, show up. Show up. Go to the announcement, however they're going to do this. Line up the doors. If they're going to be at the Delta Center when they announce this, wherever it is, go out. You want to be the center of sports in the world. You want to have the Olympics. You want Jazz players to feel like this is a place where they can live and thrive. You want athletes to come and want to live in Utah. You want good college players to come and live in Utah. Show up. Go support these teams. Go support the announcement. Be there. I'm not telling you to spend your money. I'm saying go to the announcement. Be there. Have your parade. You want a championship parade? Start with a parade at the announcement that you've got a team, because this is what we've been waiting for forever, and it's happening. Show up.
All right, we're going to wrap up the week. Coming up next, stay tuned. Live from Peach Doors and Windows, 2940 South, 300 West, it's the Jake and Ben Show, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Yeah, what a great way to finish up the week. I've seen Mavis Staples multiple times.
Yeah?
Randomly, Ben. And she is terrific still. She's got to be, I mean, she's got to be in her 70s, right?
130 years old? 80s.
And,
this ain't Provo anymore, amazing. Jake. This ain't Provo anymore. Mark Pope's press conference for Kentucky is set for 4:30 Eastern on Sunday. Yeah, that's going to be new.
On Sunday.
Sundays are going to be new for Mark Pope. He's busy now.
Yeah, that's not a...
It's not a BYU thing.
Not off the, it's not off the table anymore.
Yeah.
Good for Pope. I think it stinks that he's getting such a negative reaction from the Kentucky fans.
You know, nowhere to go but up. And the nice thing actually about that is the expectations are going to be so low that he can exceed them.
True.
As long as he gets the support, which is key in college sports. Now, what... It's not like Kentucky fans aren't going to show up. Like, they're going to be there. You know, they're thousands and thousands strong. They are going to be there. They're going to show up, and they're going to want success. And that's the issue. There's not going to be a lot of patience, but the success and the backing will be there.
That's why schools like Tennessee that ended up backing out on their coaching hire because of fan pressure is so silly. Because where are those fans going to go?
Yeah. But also, you know what? And this is the biggest issue. Worst case scenario. He has $27 million in the bank coming, right? Like, I hate to be crass about it, but he knows the risk.
Well, I'm not worried about Mark personally. It's more...
Yeah, right. But we talk about this. Like, oh, what if he doesn't succeed? Is this the right job for him? You know what's right for him? $30 million over the next 5 years.
He would be fine personally on whatever he's making at BYU.
Right.
More, I guess, worried about his coaching career?
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing.
I'm actually not worried about anything, but that's what we're talking about.
He gets fired at 2 years at Kentucky, you know who'd be interested in him? BYU.
Probably BYU.
BYU would bring him right back.
Why
in
not?
A heartbeat.
If
he's
the,
still
if
young.
If the next person doesn't work.
Yeah, if the next guy doesn't work. If they're both on similar schedules, hiring their next coach at Kentucky and BYU, I'm going to tell you right now that Mark Pope's the front runner for BYU's next head coach after this one.
Randomly retread college hires like back in the same school rarely works. That was something that we looked into when Gary took the Utah State job again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you actually can't find that many examples of coaches that go back to places they had success in duplicating that. Mack Brown did it recently with North Carolina.
Yep.
But it's actually
done a heck of a job.
It's actually not that common. It happens more than you'd think, and usually it doesn't end well.
It's a good interim. It's a good we're going to – until we find the next guy, just to stabilize the ship and kind of get fans reengaged. But, yeah. Not a long-term solution.
You know, the funny thing is, and we were talking about this off the air, right place, right time means so much in sports. And people just don't consider that at all.
Well, we don't want to think it's mostly luck. And
it is. You're in the right place, right time.
Yep.
I mean, even what's the famous Frank Layden line about Karl Malone? Like, if we knew he was going to be that good, we would have taken him first.
Yeah. Mark Daynault said it the other day about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's like, oh, we didn't know that's who we were trading for. Like, yeah, Mark Daynault could have taken credit for everything Shai did. He's like, oh, yeah, he was a good player when he got here. He's not this good. Like, this was luck. We accidentally got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
New York and Charlotte both passed on Donovan Mitchell. Both were prepared to draft Donovan Mitchell, and because of meddlesome owners, both ended up passing on Donovan Mitchell. Actually, I think New York's was the GM. Because Hornacek was the coach at the time, but Phil Jackson didn't like Donovan, so they passed on that. And then the Hornets were set to take Donovan.
But MJ liked the Kentucky kid.
Michael Jordan liked Malik Monk. Came in and said, hey, we're drafting Malik Monk. And lo and behold, that pick falls to Denver. The Jazz are able to make a trade, and they get Donovan Mitchell. Blind luck.
Which, by the way, for all the Jazz fans, wanting the team to win the lottery, which, by the way, is the definition of luck, or make the big trade for the superstar, you know how they're going to get the next face of their franchise? They're going to luck into drafting him at 8.
Yeah.
They're going to luck into drafting him at 13 or 30. Like, odds are that's what's going to happen.
Or Giannis wants a change of scenery.
It's going to be luck.
Or gets in a fight with the GM or something. Or,
yep.
You know, some sort of opportunity will present itself. And you can call it luck or you can call it be ready to pounce on that opportunity.
Yep.
Like, if you're Houston back in the day, be prepared to make a trade when James Harden becomes available.
Yep, and they were.
And even that didn't work out, but you get my point. All right, we want to say a big thanks to the group here at Peach. They are absolutely wonderful. They're so great to have the show. We enjoy coming down here, 2940 South, 300 West, and we really appreciate what great care they take of the Jake and Ben Show listeners. So if you're in the market, you've been thinking about it, ways to improve your house, start with windows and doors.
It's the best place to do it.
And come down to Peach, and they're going to help you. Even if, you know, they're great with ideas. They have engineers on staff. I mean, they can help you get what you want. So come on by or drop by their showroom and see them. It's easy. Again, 2940 South, 300 West. Or you can always go to peachbuildingproducts.com. They've got a great website. Or just simply call them. 801-566-1255. They will answer. They have great customer service. You can schedule a free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Hanson, Scotty G
Coming
up next.
Thanks, Tyler.
We will talk to you next week on the Jake and Ben Show, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.